We're back here on The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN. It's time to talk basketball. It's been kind of a weird high school basketball season, so we'll check in with the Associate Director for the Iowa High School Athletic Association. He's also the Basketball Administrator for the IHSAA. Brett Nanigan with us here on 1410 KGRN. Brett, how are you?
Doing fine, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your time here today. And I know things have been kind of crazy. Have you ever seen a basketball schedule like this being so disrupted by the weather here over the last maybe month or so?
You know, I've seen it come and go in maybe spurts of a few days or a week, but not like this where it's been week to week. I mean, it's really been wreaking havoc all across the state. So pretty tough to deal with for everybody, you know, concerned with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially, I imagine the pressure on athletic directors for their schedules, and I'm sure people have been contacting you constantly about, you know, abiding by the rules for makeups and so forth like that. I imagine that's kind of a constant thing for you.
Yeah, it's been a flurry of phone calls and emails and texts, just any way to communicate. I applaud the efforts of our ADs because those people work their tails off anyway, and the weather problems just compound, you know, the things that they have to take care of. And the coaches, I know, they get frustrated because the window shrinks. And there are only so many dates when you can plug games in. And so sooner or later, you have to determine, well, what games are we going to have to cancel altogether? And some of those are tough pills to swallow. They're tough, you know, agreements to come to when you've got two schools trying to find the date, and you may not be able to get to a mutual agreement. So that's just what happens. I mean, you have to deal with it.
Right. In the past, conference games always sort of took priority over non-conference games, but you guys have said, well, we kind of encourage you to, if you have an agreement even for non-conference games, that agreement has to be sort of upheld. Is that sort of still kind of true right now?
Yeah, it is, and I think it's really – I think important for people to understand when you're talking about multiple games and only so many dates, it won't always work out that the conference games are the ones that get played. Sometimes the conference games may get sacrificed. So I haven't seen it like this where you've got so many games, so many dates, you know, at stake, and then trying to figure out how to plug that all back together. And the other thing is, we're not the only game that's going on.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of wrestling that's happening, along with girls basketball. I mean, and then you start to mix in your other activities that schools have in lieu of those, you got a lot to take care of. So it's not that basketball is the only sacred cow.
No, and there were swimming meets, too, that got lost as well. I mean, you saw wrestling regional duels the other night. There were some that had to be made up last night, and Wednesday nights usually are free, but some people have had to resort to that. Brett Maniga of the Iowa High School Athletic Association joining us now. Of course, coaches have just met to seed the sub-states and districts. It was just met this week for 3A and 4A. Those are expected to come out perhaps tomorrow. The 1A and 2A coaches met last week. This is the third year that the coaches have met to seed that. How do you feel like that process has been going?
I think it's gotten better every year. We will have the 3 and 4A out by noon today. The thing that I'd comment on is that it's a growing process, and I think our coaches have figured out that, you know what, I've got to be prepared for these meetings now as I go into them because it's my opportunity to represent my team and do that in a discussion with the other schools in the district or the sub-state, and it doesn't do me any good to walk out the door afterwards and wish I'd have said something when I needed to present my case at the time that I had, you know, in front of everybody. So I think that's the thing they've had to learn is that, hey, it's your time. Get in there, get after it, do a good job of speaking your piece, engaging in the conversation, and feeling like you had a part in you know, the final determination of the bracket.
Yeah, how did that decision come about to go this route and have coaches determine the seeds and go from there?
Well, it was really kind of a byproduct of what was talked about in our advisory committee meeting, but also just across the state. There was a lot of frustration in everything being done here at the association. In other words, the coaches just sit back. we determine all the brackets, we put them out there, and then the coaches, of course, became frustrated because they didn't understand the why or the where, you know, that went into these brackets. So we just kind of flipped the script a little bit and said, all right, if you want to be the person involved in that, we'll put you in a position to do so. And that way, when it's all done, the brackets come out, you can say, hey, I had a part in that, rather than feeling you were on the outside looking in all the time.
Yeah. Brett Manega of the Iowa High School Athletic Association joining us here on 1410 KGRN. I've been hearing a lot of talk, good or bad, about putting a shot clock in the state of Iowa. What talk have you heard, and do you think a shot clock will ever be implemented here in this state?
Well, I don't know about ever. I don't know what that looks like. A lot of years that'll be beyond my time here, so I don't know what that'll look like down the road. All I can tell you about is what I am a part of and what I listen to and what I, you know, give credence to on a not just a local level but a national level in relation to shot clock. And there's a dwindling number of states now that have the shot clock implemented. In fact, some states got into it and determined it didn't do what they wanted it to do, so they went away from it again. And I think the thing our coaches have got to understand, and maybe they don't want to, but high school game is not college. We're certainly not pro, but we're not college. You know, and the things that the states have found that have adopted the shot clock is really not, I think, the kind of reasons that we would look at and say, well, we ought to do that, because the profound, you know, information that's come out, and it's pretty conclusive, is that the number of turnovers has gone up, the shot percentage have gone down, and the actual difference in the score after states have done this for several years of the shot clock is virtually no difference. So if our hope is that it's going to make for better games, I don't think the research has shown that yet, and I don't think you can just go out and apply it, you know, kind of a slam dunk approach and say, okay, everybody's going to do it just because other states, even though there aren't many now, are doing it, that it'll fix what we think are some problems with our game at the high school level in Iowa.
Right. So it could actually make the quality of play go down. What are the proponents of shot clock saying that it will do?
Well, I think the thing, first and foremost, is they're looking for ways to solve the stall game at the end of each quarter and especially at the end of each half. And I think what we've done, and I know the last couple of years at least, is we've said, you know what, we've got a mechanism in our rules already, and it's called the closely guarded count. So that if a ball player, you know, holds the ball and he's closely guarded for more than 5 seconds, that's a violation, it's a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So we've told our officials, you be very diligent about getting your arm out there and counting, initiating that five-second call in this closely guarded situation. But at the same time, we've also told our coaches, hey, basketball is a game of chess. You know, it's move, counter move. So you've got those things at your disposal. Don't just sit back and do nothing, you know, in the heat of the battle, when you can do something to constitute action, closely guarded counts, know, things of that nature. So again, that's what I'm hearing the most of, and I don't think a shot clock fixes that.
Yeah, and I agree. I personally would like to not see a shot clock because I agree with your points. But you know, you're always open to new ideas and to see to hear thoughts from everybody else. But
yep.
It's interesting to hear the debate about it anyway.
Yep.
Brett Menega with us here, the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Another coach mentioned to me about a debate about possibly eliminating the quarters and going to halves like colleges. What have you heard? What's the thought process along that?
And that's another one of the top, you know, two or three things that gets talked about at the national level every year is just that. And again, some states have gone to it. They've stayed with it. Some have gone back to the quarters. And I think there's probably a little bit more traction with that concept of two halves versus four quarters than there is for shot clock. So I think that'll continue to be one of those items that's on the hot plate.
Well, it's cheaper for one thing.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have to install a shot clock for
in some ways, it does allow for the ability for a coach to utilize more personnel and players too. So I think that's part of what they're looking at. Is that concept of it?
Yeah. How do you feel about the state tournament right now as it stands? I mean, you're always kind of looking to reduce expenses. I mean, it's an incredible expense to reserve the Wells Fargo Arena for a full week. I've heard in the past maybe going to like super regionals. Has that idea lost traction, or is that still in the hopper?
You know, it really lost its momentum, I think, primarily because of the fact that in our state, I mean, the state of Iowa, everything seems to gravitate to the center. I mean, that's the way we're built. Our capital's in the middle. Everything flows in and out of Des Moines, and I think it's a tough sell for our coaches to convince their kids that if they make it to the show, the state tournament, it's not going to be in Des Moines. They're so used to having that there because of tradition, I don't think we'll ever get rid of that. Now, this is the second year that we've only been in a 5-day format for our tournament. And I think people love the idea of getting off a Saturday, which last year was the first time we did that. Just because society's so different now, they want weekends for themselves. Plus, a lot of schools are going to spring break that weekend. So to be able to do our championships on Friday, 1 through 4, all in a row, I think is going to continue to be a great thing for us and for the basketball fans, because they can come in on a single admission ticket and watch basketball all day and night. Pretty good deal.
Yeah. Brent Menega with us here on 1410 KGRN. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is officials. I know the IHSAA has their own director officials, but it's obviously a problem in basketball getting younger officials to come in, and the numbers of officials is becoming it's becoming a problem across the nation. Maybe not dramatic so in Iowa, but it's getting there. How do you feel about attracting new officials and dealing with that? And could there be a possibility that you might have to go back to 2 officials in each game instead of 3?
You asked me a ton of things there.
Yes, I
but
understand.
I think things I'll speak to, to each one of those is, yes, we're experiencing fewer officials getting into the game compared to those that are retiring out. So we've got to figure out a way to replenish our pool. And I really think that's a responsibility for a lot of people. I mean, when I talk to our officials at clinics, I remind them, hey, we need your help in recruiting and mentoring new people. I tell ADs, you probably know your people in your communities better than anybody. You know who may be a good football or wrestling or basketball or baseball umpire, but they know their people. Sometimes all it takes is just a drop a hint or just a simple request to say, I could use your help at the lower levels. Could you get certified and come in and help me out? So I think those are 2 key people, but then also the campaign that we've got through the association and through the NFHS is really starting to pick up some momentum so that you're seeing a lot more marketing and advertising out there for, people to get into officiating. Now, do I think we'll go back to 2 officials?
You hope not.
I don't think we will. But I remember the day I was on the board here when we went from 2 to 3, and I thought at the time, this could come back to haunt us. And I think that's kind of what we're getting into, because we don't have as many officials now as we had back then. And now to make sure that we've got 3 guys or 3 people out on every game sometimes is tough. And I do all the assigning for basketball. So it's almost the equivalent of a nightmare. It's tough.
So, I mean, it could be a consideration to go back if the numbers don't improve.
Well, it could be, but yet, you hate to say we're going to do that because we just don't have enough people, but that could be what we're forced into. I can tell you some other states have gotten so to the point where it's so bad for them, they've had to start calling some games off because they can't get crews to call games. So I hope we never reach that point. But I guess I'm more optimistic that we can get new people in and get them to stay with it, and that'll solve our problem.
Yeah. I really appreciate your time, Brent. And just to wrap things up, I mean, overall, what do you like best about the basketball season? I'm sure you've got to deal with many issues on a daily basis, but what do you like best about the basketball season here in the state of Iowa?
Well, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, basketball in our state has got great credibility. I mean, we've got so many good programs in the JUCO and college and university level. I mean, our kids, I think, tend to look up to all those programs and those people. And then I think you've got people all over the state that help nurture that by, you know, creating youth leagues and ways for kids to be actively involved in basketball from a young age on up. And so that it really, you know, is kind of a machine in a sense, that the opportunities are always there, the involvement's there. And I think the sports season itself, you know, in our state, let's face it, just like this, when it gets like this outside, you better have something good to do inside. And, you know, basketball is one of those things. And we're fortunate to be in a state where we've got two great winter sports in basketball and wrestling. And I think our kids tend to engage in those and really rally around their sports and their communities.
Well, we're excited about being a part of it and covering it here in East Central Iowa, here in Grinnell. And, Brett, really appreciate your time, and have a great rest of the winter sports season, and try and stay away from some snow.
Certainly will. I appreciate the time, Chris, and I certainly wish you the best going forward, too.
Brett Maniga with us here, Associate Director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, with us here on The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN.